Just getting it started. Okay, so we have the recording started, and so that's the first thing. For those of you that are new, welcome. And this is a special teleseminar that I am sharing about a topic that I presented on the teleseminar 2 weeks ago, but I didn't record the teleseminar. So I'm offering it again. And so what I'm also doing is offering a gift for people because of the fact that I didn't record, so that anyone who's on this teleseminar or listens to the recording, if you would like a free coaching session with me, that's part of my gift for making that mistake around last month's teleseminar. So all you need to do is email me, drmarkhoward@comcast.net, or respond to the email you get when we send out the recording. So that's just my gift to all of you. If you want to make use of that, feel free. For those of you that are new, this is a teleseminar, and it's a little different than webinars that are on Zoom. So the whole purpose, this is like my 10th year with the teleseminar, was to present it kind of like a town hall that we do here in the United States when a member of our Congress comes to speak with their constituents. They have a town hall where they talk a while, and then they hear from the community. So that's what I'm modeling this as. I'll talk a little bit on the topic for today, and then want to hear from you. Any questions you have about the topic, anything that made sense to you about the topic, or really anything around Sidney Banks' teachings or the three principles. Again, this my teleseminars are based on my understanding of now 44 years of Sidney Banks' teachings. And I would always encourage any of you to read his books or watch any of his videos that are now really available out there for the public. When I invite you to contribute, if you feel like that, I'll do that at the end of what I have to share. You just press star 2 on your phone, and that will show me you want to share. I have a computer screen here, and it'll show me you have something that you'd like to share. Anyhow, I will remind you of all of that as we get to that part of the meeting. So welcome. This is a really wonderful topic or title that I'd like to talk to you about, because to me, when I first heard Sid share this, it was really profound. And so what it is, you know, we really don't know who we are. We're much nicer, really beautiful, really nice. We're far better than whatever we could come up with about ourselves. Anyhow, when I heard him share it, he shared it a little better than I just did. But it was so profound, because in the minute I really heard it, I had this experience of seeing that I can look beyond thoughts that I have about myself and really open up to a space in me or feelings in me or that I had never imagined, and that we're more than we think we are. Isn't that something? and to begin to open up to that. And that what we are is really nice. You know, that's the other piece, because I, you know, in the years that I've worked clinically at the psychiatry department, for like I worked there 28 years, people came in and most of it, they were dealing with not feeling good about themselves, really. They had different, you know, issues in life and so forth, but it really boiled down to innocently learning ways to think about themselves that made them feel bad. And so it was refreshing to hear Sid's words that really moved me away from thinking of myself personally to the fact that I am something magnanimous, that I'm greater than I could even imagine, and that it's beautiful. And now I've heard him before, and it continues to help me keep moving in the direction of living from the space of I'm far better than I can imagine. When he always talks about, you know, our divine essence being love. And, you know, if you look at the two major seminars, I think, that are out there now, the Long Beach lectures and the Hawaii lectures, he'll speak and share the from his high level of understanding, but he'll come down to, you know, it's just love and understanding. And that has helped me as much as this profound statement that I'm sharing with you now. Because when I heard that, I knew I could do that. I could point myself in the direction of love. I could start to point myself in the direction of looking to being an energy that's much nicer than how I think about myself. And so as I'm talking about that, I want you to really sit with how profound that is. When I first went to listen to Sidney Banks, I had never imagined that. I guess the closest I got to was in religion, you know, that Christ is love. But I was never pointed to I am love, that I am far nicer than I could even imagine I am. I never was pointed to it's just living in love and understanding. So it was really beautiful for me to hear that in the way that I did, from Sid saying that it's just love and understanding. I guess the experience of it was profound that it was that simple, that I could continue to look toward love and understanding and start to correct myself from my, learning, you know, that we all have, that we grew up in, these learning habits of how to think about ourselves, how to think about life circumstances, how to really begin to live in thinking that creates negativity in us. And so that's the direction that opened up for me once again when I, you know, heard that we're more than we think we are. You know, it's, I keep calling it an innocent aspect of being human to learn ways to think about yourself. But really, I mean, no one sets out for us to begin to live in self-doubt, continue to think there's something wrong with us, to think that we're less than. You see, we somehow growing up, begin to think that way about ourselves in an innocent way. I've shared before that I learned comparing myself to other people in the first grade. My teacher didn't set out for me to start comparing myself to other people. That wasn't the intention. The intention was to continue to progress in math. And she put all our names on this board in the math class and had different colored pins beside our names, and she would advance that pin according to, you know, your homework grade or your quiz grade or your test grades, right? And as I've shared before on webinars, I started to see that some of my classmates were ahead of me on this graph. And I really innocently started to think about myself in comparison to them. And I can remember thinking there must be something wrong with me about not being able to get math, understand math. Now, I wasn't, you know, in the poor section or the, you know, not the poor section, but, you know, in the not getting math at all group. But again, when I looked there, I started to compare myself in a way that I felt superior, you know, better than. So you see how we innocently start to think about ourselves personally. We start to get personal in our lives, and learn habits that stay with us about thinking about ourselves. So comparison is just nothing I really thought about. I just did, you know, in grad school. I was in comparison around, I remember my best friend I think he was really more intelligent than me, really. Or he was more manipulative than me. But I remember that he would get out of having to sit through seminars. We had seminars on topics around psychology. And he would manage to get out of them. And I went with him to talk with one of the professors to see if I could get out of it too, the same way he's getting out of having to sit in the seminar. Well, I'm sitting there, and he's got this great discussion going with the professor, way beyond how I was thinking about the subject, you know? He was really great at talking about it. And I could see that the professor was saying, oh, yeah, you know, let's do a different program with you. Rather than you coming to my seminars, maybe you and I could meet. So I try to argue my case, and I realized, you know, I wasn't that great with it. I couldn't really craft a reason or a way to look at the subject that would support my not going through the seminar. Well, anyhow, I started to compare myself. I mean, we were great friends, but again, you know, that would come to mind every so often, particularly if I was in a low state of mind about how, you know, I wish I could look. Share my knowledge the way my friends shared my knowledge. Anyhow, don't worry about it. I'm okay with all of that now. But I'm just sharing with you how innocently it is that we learn ways to think about ourselves. And that really keeps us from really living in the divine energy we are. In mind, in that universal intelligence that we all are a part of. And when I hear some of these profound words by Sydney Banks around what we truly are, it wakes me up to realize I'm greater than anything I could make up about myself. And it helps me put that to rest. It helps me short circuit thoughts about myself, mainly because I can remember, oh, there you go again. You're comparing yourself, and drop it. See? And look more toward what we're talking about together today, that you're much nicer, far better, really nice. Isn't that neat that that we can live in feelings like that about ourselves? And so it's this understanding of the principles, understanding that the way we use thought really can direct where we're going to experience life. And when I'm using thought habitually in this way that I've learned to think about myself, I get the effect of that. And I get the full experience of comparing myself to other people, physiologically and emotionally. I get feelings from that. And it's the understanding of that, as we're talking together today, it's the understanding of that that you want to find. To find the understanding of this, you stay reflective about the fact that the way you use your thinking, the power to think, toward yourself affects you. And that it's just a habit you've learned, and it's not truth. Because the truth lies in this grander consciousness we are, that Sid is describing as much nicer, far better, beautiful, really beautiful. You see, that's where the truth of our nature lies. And you live in the understanding because this is not a strategy to practice. It's an understanding to find. It's a really difference here. It's an understanding to find about how you have learned to think about yourself and how that's affecting you. It's also keeping you from living deeper in the divinity that you are, in the beautiful feelings that you are just surrounded by. That's his saying is love. And I emphasize that it's an understanding because you just have to trust that if any of what we're talking about right now or anything that you've read from Sid or listened by Sid resonated with you, kind of felt right to you, it's going to come back. You don't have to worry about memorizing this. You don't have to worry about continuing to think about the fact that thinking about yourself impacts you. If it's resonated in some way, it'll occur to you. And when it occurs to you, in that moment, you'll then know what to do. Like, it occurs to me in different ways. Like, Mark, your thinking's off. Mark, you're getting caught up in bother. Hey, Mark, this is just your thoughts. I mean, it doesn't come up like Mark, you know. It is. I get a thought about how off my thinking is. When I get it, I know to just quiet down. And as I quiet down and move away from it, I get other ways to think. Like just relax and quiet down. Like go to love and understanding. Like listen more. Like apologize, like have more understanding for this other person, just different ways that I'll be directed to about how to think a different way other than my habitual way that I woke up to. That's why you want to have this as an understanding and not something that you get intellectually to practice. Because really, if something you've heard today, as I've talked so far, or Again, like I said before, something listening to Sid, it'll be there with you. And it will occur to you. And when it occurs to you, you'll have less energy on it. The minute it occurs to you, like for me, I have less energy on it. I, in a way, correct. I used to talk about how, you know, you're living in a nice feeling, like you're driving on this freeway or this highway or, you know, this road of beautiful feelings. And then up comes this signpost like bother is the next exit, and you take it. And you start living, you start down, going down the road of bother, and you're getting the full effect of it. And all of a sudden you wake up, wait a minute, I'm going in the wrong direction. I want to go back to the road of good feeling that I was on. That's it. So you turn the car around and you go back. And that's it. That's what, why you want this as an understanding for yourself. And again, to have it as an understanding for yourself, you just have to know if this made sense, your understanding is developing and it will come back to you. Oh man, that's what Mark talked about on that teleseminar. And the minute you see that, you're in a different place inside of you. That's what really changed me the first night I listened to Sydney Banks was, it wasn't so much that he was pointing to how thought worked and how it was our thinking that was creating our feelings. What it was that it brought me back to within myself. It brought me back to look within me in terms of the way I was holding my thinking in that moment. And that really freed me to see that all I have to do is look within me and look at how I'm handling, holding on to my habits of thought. That was a biggie for me because prior to that, I was looking at everything around me as a reason for why I was feeling the way I was. You know, my wife, my family, my job, my friends, you know, it's endless, right? But what I was able to find with understanding that moment of just getting a nice feeling of what Sid was sharing was, oh, I just have to come back within me to the way I'm using my beautiful gift of thought and how the way I'm using it is creating the feelings I'm having. That's a biggie. And that's really the saving grace of this understanding that Sydney Banks has been pointing to. If you could come back in a gentle way and look within the fact that the only thing that's creating the experience you're in right now is the way you're handling your thinking, that's freedom. Because nothing else is doing it to you. So all you got to do is set in motion a way to kind of handle your thinking, you know? Rather than before, I had this job of, I had to fix my wife. I had to fix my boss. I had to find a better job. You see, I had a lot of work ahead of me, you know, to find the happiness I'm looking for. But when I realized that the happiness I'm looking for, or the nice feelings really I'm looking for, really just rested with what I was doing within me, with the thinking I was up to, oh man, now that was an easy thing. Once I saw the truth of that, right? And that's something to evolve the rest of your life. But it's only one thing, looking within to the way you're using the thoughts, the power of thinking. How are you using it today? Today we were looking at how we've learned to use it in a way that we thought about ourselves in ways that made us feel bad. But once we come back to looking at, we just got this habit of thought, it brings freedom. We don't have to get another teacher of math. We don't have to get new friends. In fact, we can really appreciate and enjoy friends that look like they're doing better than us, or that are progressing better than us, or are creating, like in my work now, people that are creating programs that are helping people, rather than get into jealousy or envy or self-criticism about why I don't do as much. I can enjoy their successes, their progress. You see? Because really, they're the same as me. They're the same energy as me. And I've got that same beautiful feelings in me. And really, in that space, I can live as me. I can live as me rather than as somebody else who I think is doing better than me. You see that? You can live as you're meant to live. And if you keep bringing yourself back to your far better, much nicer, you come back to that, you'll be guided. You may be a person who likes to help their children in school and participates in coaching their sports. Maybe you love that. Rather than, I don't know, creating a new business. See, nothing wrong with either one. That's just the way you're expressing your beautiful feeling. Plus, it doesn't mean you can't do anything else. But right now, you could sit with those beautiful feelings, and when you do, you'll see what's right for you. Just share an example. I don't know if any of you know of Elsie Spittle, but she was a close friend of Sydney Banks before Sydney Banks had the experience that he now shares with all of us. She was very close to him, and she became a wonderful teacher of the principles and the understanding. She was really a wonderful. She had great respect for having people in the beautiful feelings. She really respected that and lived for that. And I remember her telling me one time that she had just come back from doing a few months in Europe, doing some seminars there, some trainings. People wanted to learn from her. She came home and she just realized was realizing how tired she was, and then she just kind of relaxed, and it just occurred to her in feeling nice and quiet that she needed to take the whole summer off and just be and not do any work. And she honored that. And of course, she had thoughts of, well, will my clients stay with me? What will happen in September if I decide to go back to my work? She had those thoughts, but she saw them for what they were, her usual thoughts that get her a bit insecure, and came back to the beautiful feelings in her that were really just telling her what's right for you now. And it was beautiful for me to hear that because, you know, we all have that soft voice. We really do. We really have that voice that's telling us what's right for us now. We override it with what that could mean for us, comparing ourselves to what will happen, or comparing ourselves to, oh, we won't be as good as, you see? And if we listen to that soft voice, we would do what's right for us now. Not in the outside what's right for us, but from the beautiful feelings what's right for us now. And she followed that. And when she came back in September, clients waited for her. It doesn't matter the outcome. What matters is that we are all getting guidance from this consciousness that is way more than we can imagine about what's right for us now. And if we could quiet down habitual thoughts about comparing ourselves or doubt or self-doubt about it, or, you know, we bring that in and overlay it on that feeling in us, if we could just see that and help ourselves stay away from it, we'll know what's right for us in the moment, but also now. Like, is it right for you if you're like wanting to bring this understanding? Is it right for you to do a program right now? Or is it right for you to just be quiet for a while? Is it right for you to just enjoy your family? Just settle in and enjoy your family. I know that was right for me. Because that habitual thinking of comparison was driving me too much in these early days in creating stuff. And I realized this is keeping me from just enjoying my family. And I started to come back to just living in those nice feelings. And wow, that I get closer to family. Well, anyhow, I shared a lot with you, and I actually talked longer than I had planned to. Thank you for staying with me, and I hope it was helpful for you to understand those words of Sydney Banks, for you to begin to hold them in you, that you're more than you think you are. You're much nicer, far better, really nice. Anyhow, I'd love to hear from you. So if anybody would like to share something about what I presented, if any of you have any questions, if any of you would like to share just about your understanding of the principles or questions about those, we're open to all of that with the time remaining today. So to do that, you need to press *2 on your phone. So if you press *2 on your phone, I can see that. Okay, we have somebody. Let's see. I think this is Richie. Am I right?
Yes, you are, Mark. Hi, how are you?
Hi, Richie. Good to hear from you.
Great to hear from you. Whenever I hear your voice and it says, "Hi, Richie," I think that you're saying hi to the higher self than Richie. You're really saying the nicer part of it.
And I am and speaking to the nicer part of Richie.
and it makes it easier for me to be nicer. So thank you for that.
Oh, good.
I love what you said about it's not something to practice. It's something to understand or see. I think you said to understand.
Yeah.
And I think of all my history of I'm not a good person and I have to work and strive because I want to be a good person. I want to be a nice, but I have to work at it. And you reverse the whole field. It's just something to see.
Well, Richie, you're going to share more, Richie?
I always have more, but it was just a pause in there. Yeah, it's more to see. I don't have to try.
Yeah.
I do stuff. I do stuff in my life, but to know that when I get uptight, when I get in, I was a math teacher. So when you were talking about math in the beginning. So especially in the early grades, I was always one of the better students. But there was pressure in being a better student because I didn't want to fall behind.
Yeah.
And then later on in life, I met people who were as good as I was, and then guess what, Mike? I met people that were better at it than me. And all that comparing and all that struggling to try to be, to maintain my status or to be better than or to catch up, it's a lot of work.
Tremendous amount of work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I don't have to do it. And part of the, I can be, the hard one, that's something that's been challenging for me is to learn how to be nicer to myself. Because I probably share this with a lot of the weekend, these critical voices and being hard on myself, and to recognize that that's not really me, it's just the thought. Well, thank you.
That's beautiful, Richie. That's beautiful. Thank you so much for sharing with us. And
thank you.
Yeah. You know, it's really... What, Richie?
I wanted to say thank you for offering these teleseminars and all the work that you do. And so it's really been a gift to me. So thank you.
Yeah, you know, Richie, it's really something that being able to open up and live happy like we would like to is easier than we think it is. You know, we don't have to do all that. We don't have to do all that work on ourselves. Yeah. What you reminded me of, Richie, is another, I share this when I talk about the book, The Missing Link. I have a year-long group where we look at The Missing Link, but Sid sometimes is really practical in what he shares. It's coming from a really deep place in him, but it sounds practical to me. And what you reminded me of, Richie, is he says, don't give negativity energy because it grows. Ignore it. And, if you want to set out a practice, there's a practice for all of us, to reflect more on those words, that you can really not give any negativity any of your attention. You can ignore it. But I wonder, anybody else have anything you'd like to share or ask about? Press star 2. Richie also reminded me of what it's like, when you have this self-image, which is thought, habits of thought. And then you got to keep it up. There's a lot of pressure. And Richie, you reminded me of... my supervisor in my hospital fellowship, John Enright, he was really one of the first people to know about Sidney Banks. But what he learned was he had to always be the smartest person in his class from first grade on. And he was telling me again, how much pressure and anxiety he lived in. Because as Sid always says, there's always going to be somebody that's better and somebody that's not. That's not the way to live life, as you are sharing with us, Richie. And the way we're living life is to see that we really are a wellspring of love, a wellspring of happiness. We already have it. That's the other beauty, that we already have it. And again, as Sid would say, were it not for our silly beliefs. And today we're looking at those beliefs being self-focused, beliefs about ourselves that get in the way of right now living in love, living in happiness, living in peace of mind, living in being okay. So anybody else like to share with us, you would press star 2 on your phone. I'd love to hear from you. Even some new people, if you're able to do that. I'm just listening that the other thing that brings to mind, I have a lot of quotes today for some reason, Sid quotes that have helped me in the past year because I listen to him. I walk now for exercise, and when I do, I have a playlist that I listen to, and there are these beautiful quotes. And again, for the theme of today, he also says this. He says, find beautiful feelings. You're full of them. Let them unfold. Isn't that something? It's, again, along with the theme of today. Find beautiful feelings. You're full of them. And then let them unfold. If you could live like that, you know, go on into your day, go on into your evening, go on into your home, wherever you're listening to this, and let beautiful feelings unfold. Rather than give energy to the thinking that's starting to come back into your head, you know, the minute we end the teleseminar, you can go out into your day, your evening, in that space of just letting beautiful feelings unfold. If you get caught up, as we all will, in thinking about what's in front of you, bring yourself back. Come back to finding the beautiful feelings you're full of. You want to learn to live more there. I was just talking to someone that I mentor, and she was caught up in having a lot of doubts about a relationship. And as we started to talk about those, you know, the beautiful feelings you want in your relationship are already there. Because both of you are full of beautiful feelings. So what's in the way? Well, you've got a lot of thoughts about your partner. She realized she puts her partner in a lot of categories. He's not up to it. He's missing something. Things like that, you know, you could see if you look at someone, and I'm not laughing at the person, I'm laughing at our humanness, how easy it is for our person who we love, in that special relationship, into a category, you know. But once you see that, you can, as we said, use that understanding to quiet that. And look for the beautiful feelings in that person. Look there rather than in your category of the person. Look beyond your thinking of the person to connect to the beautiful feelings that are in that person. Let them unfold. Welcome those. You know, be more of a welcoming for your partner's beautiful feelings and letting them unfold rather than an obstacle. We're an obstacle, me too. We're all in the human condition, but we can learn. The obstacles are the way we think about our partner, the opinions we have, the categories we place them in. Those are all ways that really become obstacles from us being a place, a space where our partner's beautiful feelings can unfold. Isn't that beautiful? This isn't anything about me. It's just what's possible for all of you. I never saw this before. I never saw this piece before until I was able to talk with you in beautiful feelings. See? I never saw this, that we can be the landscape that allows our partner's beautiful feelings to unfold. We can be that. We can be the space. I never saw that way of looking at it before until I was with you. Now, you could find the same thing. The only reason I was able to see that is I'm not in a lot of personal thinking as I'm sharing with you. Well, if you're with someone and you're not in a lot of your own personal thinking, you're going to see something you haven't noticed before about being with someone or being with yourself or taking the next step in your life. And I wanted to just share this with you because that's what's possible. I was given something to share with you about this topic. Now, if I'm in my regular life, I'm going to see something that I could share in my regular life that fits it, like make an apology, like tell the person you were off in your thinking and want to get back to a nice feeling with them. Things like that have occurred to me that I hadn't thought of before. So I wanted to underline that this whole piece of you can be a space that you can let the beautiful feelings of your partner unfold is something new, a new way to look, that occurred to me while I'm here with you. And you have the same thing going for you that can occur to you to help you see deeper and in a new loving way, something that is in front of you. If you are quiet about your own thinking about yourself. Okay. Wow. Thank you for that. I'm really thrilled by this. But one last chance. If anybody has something you'd like to share or ask about, press star 2. And let's have one more person join with a question or a comment before we end today. If you're comfortable with doing that. But, you know, comfort with sharing is just a thought, too. Well, okay, it was wonderful being with all of you. I really feel blessed to be able to share with you and have you all on the call and some new people joining us. It's exciting. And it's just like, wow, I think my not recording the last one in a way was meant to be because I saw more this time around than when I was sharing the last time. And again, remember that I'm giving this gift that because of not messing up the last teleseminar by not recording it. The gift is a free coaching session for anybody who wants it in the month of May. So anywhere in the month of May, you can reach out to me and we can arrange a time together if that's what you'd like to do. Well, great being with you. You're going to get the recording in a couple of days in your email as you did the announcements for today's teleseminar. And you'll see that there are three ways in which you can make use of the recording. Okay, everyone, I'm going to stop here and wish you all a wonderful day.